without any further ado, our first speaker is Tom Kohler from Utrecht. So Tom, the floor is yours. And we have half-hour slots, and each speaker will be speaking for about 20 minutes, and then there'll be time for questions. And I'll show you a sign when you have 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Charles, and thank you, Liz, also, for organising this day. And thank you all for showing up and not letting yourself be put off by all the males encouraging you to withdraw. We felt extremely welcome getting all these males. What I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about a piece of research that is an extremely applied piece of research, actually much in line with the volume that Charles published this autumn, and in which we worked for the Dutch Emergency Call Center. It is about a case of existing misalignment between the caller and the call taker, and as I will show, this is embedded in a form of misalignment between existing communication formats that the call takers used and the organization structure in which this communication format was used. At the same time, what we did shows is a way of showing the force of the preference for type conformingness, and I will explain to you why. And it also shows a thing that has been shown again in Charles's volume several times, that when you start to apply CA, it often gets you beyond CA. I'll first tell you something about how the Dutch emergency call system is organized. We have a national emergency call center, one national emergency call center, and lots of local emergency call centers. If you take your mobile phone and call 112 in the Netherlands, wherever you are in the Netherlands, you will be connected to that single national call center. And the local call centers are all specialized in either police, fire brigade, or ambulance. So what, and the national call center only is a sort of, short-term first entrance, a sort of portal, you may say, which dispatches you to one of these local call centers. So what they need to know is which of the three types of emergencies do you need, and where are you? That's what they want to know, and then they'll dispatch you. And they had a problem that their calls took too long, and I stated the obvious on my PowerPoint. Why is that the problem? Because if calls take longer, it takes longer, of course, to get aid at the place where it's needed, and it also takes longer for the call taker to be available for the next call. Then they gave us 120 recordings of what they called too long calls. And what we did then is, first we wanted to see what makes a call long in two respects. First, why do you call a call long? And second, what causes it to be long? The first thing, we took a sequential approach to longness rather than a time measurement approach. So we looked at how many adjacency pairs does a call minimally need to do the job. And what we saw is, and I will show you that in this this extract, which is, by the way, it is translated into English. I didn't bother to put in the Dutch original, although I will let you listen to the Dutch original. And it's also largely simplified, as you will hear from in this one. There's a lot of emotion going on that's not in this transcript. It is in the Dutch transcript, but I didn't bother to put it in, because what I want to show you here, that actually here the two types of information police, ambulance and Almere Haven, which is a town, are given in response to a single question, rather, even before the question is produced. That's why I put the Q between brackets. As you can see in the overlap, the information is already produced after the call taker has identified herself. Even before the question, who do you want to talk to, is asked. What you can see here that from a sequential perspective, you need actually only a single adjacency pair to produce the two types of information. You could think, of course, of two adjacency pairs, one asking for the kind of emergency service and one asking for a place, but anything that's more than that could be called long in terms of sequential organization. I'll just let you listen to this quickly. Well, this is what you just what you see here on screen. Then when we concluded on what are long calls, we started to look at the second question, namely, what causes them to be long. Now, I can tell you there's lots of causes, we focused on only two. There are also causes like Polish truck drivers who do not speak Dutch, and that which make calls take longer than necessary, of course, with a fluently Dutch speaker. There are all kinds of causes, but we focused on two, which I will illustrate by this one. Here we see someone who, in response to the question, who do you want to talk to, does not say who he wants to talk to. He says he makes a delivery of the emergency rather than saying who he wants to talk to. And I will let you listen to this one. This one is especially for Joyce, because she will be the only one, even the Dutch present here will not be able to understand this one.
Alarcentrale 1 en 2, wie wilt u spreken? Goedenavond,
ja, ik weet, ik heb
je
op de promenade dat je het even lang mag bij een ijskoekraam. Want ik denk dat daar echt wat gebeurd is wanneer je het open maakt, zo met lang en je hand of zo, ja.
Wacht, u bent niet zo heel duidelijk te verstaan. Wat heeft u dan, de politie?
Now, this is the part that you didn't see on transcript yet, so I'll repeat that part.
Wacht, u bent niet zo heel duidelijk te verstaan. Wat heeft u dan? De politie?
Now, in short, what you see here is that in response to the question, who do you want to talk to, which is meant to trigger a response in terms of police, fire brigade or ambulance, the caller makes a delivery of the emergency and a description of what's going on in a promenade where there's an ice cream stall, where there's an alarm going off and all kinds of things. And then in the end, the call taker brings him back to the essential question, but who do you want to talk to? The police? And then, yes, I think so. So he doesn't really hesitate as to the question, who do you want to talk to? So it's not a matter of that he didn't know who he wanted to talk to, and instead of saying who he wanted to talk to, presented the delivery or presented the emergency, but it's rather a case that he didn't expect the question, who do you want to talk to be designed to make him choose between either police, fire brigade or ambulance. And a second phenomenon that you can see here is that callers assume that they are calling to a local call center and do not know that they are calling to a national call center. So what you see here is that emergency call center 112, who do you want to talk to? And then she said, good evening, I want to talk the police quickly to the Viergang Street, please. What town is that? And then, instead of saying the town, before you again repeat Viergang Street, again repeat the street. And you see this very often. Actually, I think, but it's very hard to get get your hands on that, but I think that the fact that this first speaker speaks does not make an attempt to make a speech more towards standard Dutch. It's also an indication that he expected someone from Limburg to be on the phone on the other side. We've also seen phone calls in Friesland where they speak Frisian, where the callers start in Frisian, expecting to have someone, a call taker, who also speaks Frisian, and not expecting someone in Utrecht to pick up the phone. So that's. I'll let you listen to this one as well.
Hallo, centrale 1 en 2, wie wilt u spreken?
Goedenavond, ik wil stel de politie hier met de vier van straat, alsjeblieft.
Welke stad is dit?
De vier van straat.
Welke stad is dat?
Rotterdam.
Rotterdam, blijft u aan de lijn.
Okay, so there are these two causes amongst several others. I emphasize. First, the callers present their emergency rather than they choose a service, and the other is they assume they are connected to a local call center, and then it takes more time to get a caller to say where they are. Now, what we offered to the National Call Center. Shall we try and design a new opening phrase that directs callers towards or directs them away from the assumptions that they call with? Rather, that's perhaps better. So they apparently call with the assumption that you are supposed to deliver your emergency, and they call with the assumption that they are connected to a local call center, and we needed an opening phrase that would lead them away from these assumptions into the requirements of the National Call Center. Now the original phrase is emergency call center 112, who do you want to talk to, which is the question. Of course, there's the identification part, and then there's the question, which is a content question, a question word question, and we changed that into an alternative question with police, fire brigade, and ambulance. So we designed two alternative phrases. One we added to the identification, we added the word national, or landelijk in Dutch, to lead them away from the assumption local. And then we added, instead of the open question, the content question, we turned it into an alternative question, police, fire brigade, or ambulance. And of that opening phrase, we had two versions, one also adding the term dispatch to make it even perhaps more obvious that you are going to be dispatched. This is not the place where we want to hear your entire story. You are going to be dispatched. What we did then, on 9 days, we had 9 different call takers use all these three openings, which produced a total of over 2,000 calls. And you can see the O is the original phrase, one is the first phrase, with the notion of dispatch in it, and two is the same phrase without the notion of the mention of dispatch. And just for a reference, in the same 9 days, the National Call Center got more than 100,000 calls and almost 28,000 dispatches. So this is only a slight proportion of what they did in this period. But for us, over 2,000 calls was quite a number, of course. We did not transcribe them all. What we did, first we did the point, of course, of the National Call Center was how can we make our calls shorter. So what we did, we just calculated the mean length of calls, and unfortunately nothing significant. This you see that the mean length of calls doesn't vary much. It's around 27 seconds mean length of call, and it doesn't make much difference which call which opening phrase we used, there were no significant differences. But of course, a researcher never give up. And so what we did, we transcribed the openings of 50 randomly chosen calls of each of the three opening calls. And the first result, it wasn't really a result, was that the longer opening phrases were interrupted more often. They were overlapped more often, although this was not significantly so. So we even did statistics on it, but there was no significant difference there. But you can see that, of course, the longer you make your opening phrase, people who call an emergency call center experience some kind of urgency, and will probably interrupt you if you make a very long opening statement. But then, what we found that there was a significant difference when you look at to what extent the new opening phrase, the alternative question, leads callers to present, to pick one of the three emergencies rather than deliver their emergency. So you can see that of the 50, the two new phrases, one and two, produce many more callers that make a choice between one of these three services than the original phrase. And this was a very statistically significant result. Also, we found that the addition of the word national didn't do anything. People just as often assume that they are connected to a local call center. And also we found that adding the word dispatch didn't do anything either. So there was no significant difference between alternative one and alternative two. So of course what we did, we made the phrase shorter. We took out national, we took out dispatch, and we ended up with this one: emergency center 112, do you want fire, police, fire brigade, or ambulance? So we took out these things, and if you now call 112 in the Netherlands, this is the call, this is the phrase that you are responded with since October 2009. So that's especially for my MA student Nina, who actually carried out the pilot study. This was a tremendous success to have the national call center adopt the phrase that is the result of your master thesis. Okay, a few words of conclusion. First, it's obvious that we've gone way beyond CA in doing this. It's also obvious that we couldn't have done this without this qualitative approach to start with. The way in which we sort of got a grip on what are long calls, the way in which we got a grip on what causes these calls to be long, all came from detailed transcription and the kind of work that we are all familiar with. This is also in Charles' edited volume. There are several contributions to that volume that make the same observation. And especially, of course, if you want to measure the effects of a given advice, such as in our case, you come into a domain of more or less, not yes or no. And as soon as you come in the domain into the domain of more or less, you need to do quantification to know what you've done and to know what the results are. There's also an interesting tension between this communication format and the organization structure, because what we did, we adapted the caller to the organization rather than the other way around. Of course, what could also have been done, and what actually is being done at this very moment, is organize the emergency call center in such a way as to align with the assumptions that callers have anyway. If you know that callers assume that they call local, and if you know that they assume that they need to present their entire emergency, you'd rather better organize your call center in such a way that you align with these assumptions rather than make an effort to redirect the assumptions of the caller. Because whatever, that was going to take you more time. And that's precisely what they're doing now. They are trying to organize it in such a way that there's one caller for police, fire brigade, and a call taker for fire brigade and ambulance, so that you don't you do not have to make a choice, which is also, of course, a very funny thing that the layperson, the client, needs to make the choice. If you see a car accident, then the layperson, apparently in this system, must decide that you need the fire brigade to saw someone out of his truck, for example. This is something that needs a certain amount of expertise to know that it's the fire brigade that's responsible for those tasks and not just for fire. So these are things that in which you can, of course, that's much more work, but it would be much better, I think, to align the organization to the client than to try it the other way around. And then the other thing is, I think this, and you will not be surprised as a conversation analyst to see what how forceful little things in language are. I was amazed at how strong an alternative question such as police, fire brigade, or ambulance works in this context. These people call with an emergency, and of course they're not set on orienting to all kinds of language things, and yet this language thing of producing an alternative question significantly moves them into the required direction, and I think that's also a very interesting result, that you can see how strong these question formats are in directing people into certain directions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, great start, and we have plenty of time for questions, observations, and comments. Yes.
I was wondering about, you said that, you know, as soon as they had produced these three alternative response options or whatever, they continued to belong a lot of the conversations. And I'm curious about whether you looked into some of the other reasons for this loneliness. Because after they had been presented with these three options, I'm curious to know how the conversation could go on, you know, with.
Yeah. Well, it's often that there are people who are so disturbed that they can say that, but then, for example, the town will not come out. Mm-hmm. And so we solved the option issue, but we didn't solve the local issue. And it's often very difficult to make a caller understand that if he is calling in Rotterdam, that the call taker is not in Rotterdam, for example. And you can see, you saw that also in the one example where even the question "What town is that?" was answered by repeating the street name. And so that's one thing. And then there is the other issue of there are also people who are taking lots of time, are saying police or ambulance, or are answering the question, but then still delivering. so they make this choice in response to the question, but still feel the need to talk about. And I can understand why that is. If you call with this urgency, that you. You feel the need to talk about. So this is not so much perhaps in response to the question, but in response to the felt urgency of your call.
But I think that's interesting with respect to whether the call center feel that their problem has been solved, because you know part of the problem is that perhaps people are in an emotional state where they need something else than to just be dispatched and just be delivering. Have you discussed that with Bernard?
Yes. Well,
is that something that Master Stephen discusses in here?
No. Well, she doesn't. One of the big issues that makes make calls long are emotions, and one thing, and this is a topic on which I did a presentation this summer in Manchester at IPRA, one thing that we noticed that emotional callers do not, where these callers do type conforming answers, emotional callers tend to do non-type conforming answers. So they'll say, if you ask them, please, fire brigade or ambulance, they say, I don't care, just send me something. And answers just like that. And you see lots of these non-type conforming answers, and this, of course, makes calls long.
Yeah. Yeah. Another question?
Yes, Ruth.
I'm sorry because I missed the first few minutes and you may have said this, but just from a practical point of view, could you give us an idea about the length of this project? Because you clearly had quite a number of phases in there, and just be interesting to understand the time for access, the time for analysis, but then testing, and then
Well, we did it this way. The first phase in which we started from scratch with these 120 calls and to find out what the causes are and what long calls are. This was a project I did with, I think, 20 master students for 2 months. And then from that, we got the we focused on these two causes, and then this one master student and I worked on that for about 4 to 5 months. So that's but of course we had a lot of capacity from all these students doing transcriptions, and this was I need to say this was not assigned. Assigned work in the sense that we were paid for it. It was a nice collaboration because it gave my students something very interesting to do, and it had results for the National Call Center, but no money was involved, so no one was paid.
Yes, Joyce.
One other option could have been that you do a sort of publicity campaign telling the Dutch audience, this is what the National Call Center is for. If you call the National Call Center, make your choice clear. Things like that. We have these kind of anti-alcohol or whatever campaigns. Well, this could have been the topic of such a campaign. It would have been, of course, much more costly than what we did now. But the callers were never involved. There is one thing I it was on one of my slides, but I didn't mention it. I think there was actually the National Police Force that operates this National Call Center has a contract with the Home Ministry, and the contract stipulates that each call should be answered within 10 seconds. And they did not always manage to do that. So that was their problem. They didn't live up to their contract.
Good, we'll have to stop with that. Thank you very much, Tom.